Okay, page 1047 in the Stoner. 1047. Shia, you're up. Go ahead. Read for us. From the beginning. English is fine. No pressure. You read English?
Good.
Go ahead. That's fine. That's, I don't care. Let's just try to get the information across here. Go ahead. As soon as you're ready. A little louder.
You go to war against your enemies.
Okay. Translation.
Hashem, your God, will deliver them into your hand, and you get a captive.
Okay. So there you have it. Okay. Good. The Jewish people are going to war. Go ahead. Bring who? Bring what? Bring, dude.
Oh, wait, no. And you will see among the captain and woman.
Just read it. Yeah, just stay
and there. You will desire, you may take her for yourself as for a wife.
Okay. Okay. So what is this called if you look at the English sidebar here? The Stoner? The woman of beautiful form. Here we read a story in the Torah which is unexpected. An unexpected law. We turn the page and like, whoa. There's a whoa moment. What happens here? The Jew goes to war, and on the battlefield is a beautiful woman. A woman of beautiful form. She's dressed to kill. She is very desirable. And the guy wants to sleep with her. Says the Torah. Go ahead. Sleep with her. And that's the story. I mean, there's some more further details. Right? But we're not gonna continue for right now. I've shown you enough. We don't know how to respond to this. This is unexpected, to say the least. No. You ask yourself, is this the Orthodox version? This is not Haredi. You spent your whole life listening to these rabbis scream and yell, stay away from those girls. You watch yourself there, son. You control your eyes and you control your mind and you keep your distance. You don't mess with women. And on and on. You've heard this before? You've heard that message? Yeah?
Sure.
So, you turn the page and like, you're like, gulp. Like, what? What does it say here? A woman of beautiful form? And go ahead. And, you do your thing. Do your thing, and, And this is just... The rabbis are... I mean, what do the rabbis do with this one, you know? It's like, and it's the opening section of the book, you know. Sometimes in the chapter, you're like, okay, we're going to skip the end of the chapter. You know how those rabbis, you know. Oh, we're going to skip the very end of the thing. Yeah, just there's nothing there, actually. It's just kind of bad. You know? It's like the opening, it's the opening verse in the Parsha. The rabbis are speechless. They're stuttering and stammering. How the heck do we deal with this? This is not very, this is not black hat Torah. What is going, we got a problem. We got a problem here, son. Oh, it must be a mistake. It needs to be reinterpreted. The Torah didn't mean it. Wrong. The Torah's telling you straight up. Yeah, she's beautiful, and you're attracted to her, physically attracted to her, and you just have to you have to get her.
Because it's in the heat of battle.
Because she's very beautiful.
Because it's in the heat of battle.
She's very beautiful. So just do your thing. And they're just do your thing. So is this Rabbi God? I mean, is what kind of rabbi is he, this Rabbi God? So let's take a moment to try to understand. I want to tell you, like I said, for some people, this is like a thorn in their spiritual side, like, ouch, what do we do with this? This compromises, right? This is a compromise in regards to regarding our spiritual standards here. But to my mind, what I'd like to show you here today is that this section, which seems so non-spiritual, to me personally, Avram Willick is one of the most inspiring teachings in the Torah. Now don't get the wrong idea, I told once a guy, I was talking to a group of students, I said, yeah, here's the Torah, you go to war, she's a very beautiful woman, you can marry, you can get involved with her physically. So my students are like, oh, okay, well, we're signing up to the army. Yeah. All right, where do I sign? Here, bring me back. Show me where the office is. I'd like to contribute, to the society. Right? So that's not what I mean. Okay, why is this so inspiring? I'll tell you why. The Torah is the direct communication, the direct word of God to mankind. Now stop for a moment, just stop to recognize that is nothing short of miraculous. God, creator of the world, right? He's going to actually write a personal note, with information. Here's what you need to know, like a little note to us and say, here, this is... Let me give you the guidebook, the secret, the secret code to how to be successful in this world. Whoa! But that's what it is. That's the miracle of Torah. That's how we celebrate. That's how we kiss. That's how we kiss the Torah scroll. It's that important. It's that valuable. And of course, that is why the Torah has been so popular. Right? Printed more times in more languages than any other book in the history of the world. By far, that's the Bible. The Word of God. Now, when Hashem writes to us and speaks to us and communicates with us, he says, he has a set of standards and he has many pages of advice. Page after page after page, line after line, verse after verse of advice. Here are 613 pieces of advice. That's what we have in the Torah. And God knows just exactly what's right for us. Why is that, Meir? Because like I always say, God, and this is so important to understand for us, and think about this, God, I often refer to him in this context, God is the programmer on this thing. Who wrote your program? Right? Anything that you experience, anything that you feel, anything that you encounter, meaning God doesn't know what your story is? Like sometimes people come up to you and say, listen, Rabbi, I'm kind of embarrassed. I've done something kind of wrong, and I want to do something. I'm interested. I have a desire to do something wrong. They're kind of stuck. I'm like, what's the problem? Just tell, you could just speak openly. Well, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, like, dude, it's not your doing. God created the world. So listen, how can I talk to God about this? You know, it's a mitzvah of vidui. You have to like say what you did. How can I talk to God about it? We think God doesn't understand. God wrote the program. Well, the darkest, dirtiest, most depraved and disgusting, despicable things that you ever want to do. Guess what? Who invented that? Not you. God invented it. And God programmed you with the desire to do those things. Period. You know, kind of like Rabbi Dr. A.J. Tversky said it the best. He says, look, because he's famous. He's a rabbi and he's a psychiatrist, the world famous psychiatrist. And he says, guys, let me tell you. I will tell you what type of negative impulses I have. I know exactly how many. And he writes, he goes, I have 365 negative impulses. Right? Because if you know, 613 mitzvahs, 248 positive action mitzvahs, and 365 negative prohibitions. He says, again, he's the guy, he wrote the book. In other words, he's the expert. And this is what he does. He goes, I'm telling you, as a psychiatrist, I know exactly how many negative impulses, what kind of negative things I want to do, okay? 365 really bad things, okay? And don't try to tell me otherwise. How do I know? Because God said it. And God is telling us, here, you can do things like this and this. Watch yourself and don't do it. Now, whenever you meet people who turn their noses and pretend that some of those things in the Bible are like disgusting or inconceivable, you gotta watch out for them. Right? It says in the Torah, you know, hey, pardon me, but it says in the Torah, you know, don't sleep with your sister. Sleep with your sister. You know, like, who's to sleep with their sister? It's nauseous. But guess what? There are plenty of people in this world who sleep with their sister. Yeah? Right? Now, it doesn't mean that it comes naturally to me, but trust me, you could end up sleeping with your sister. You better watch yourself. Torah said, God said straight up in the Torah. It's not like, you know, the guy, even in the chas, whoever, you know, the most religious Valkyrie, you know, he doesn't like, ooh, how am I going to read this? This is rated out. You know, it says in the Torah, when it says, don't sleep with your mother, don't sleep with your sister, don't sleep with your daughter, what the Valkyrie says, oh, you know. No, he says it straight up. He says it out loud. What are you ashamed? Hashem said, here's what you, it's possible, you don't watch yourself, you can sleep with it, we can sleep with an animal too. That's what it says in the Torah. Straight, black and white, don't do this. Hashem says, here, I know what you're capable of doing. I'm telling you, don't do this. Hashem knows everything. Hashem created it. Hashem created our negative impulses, right? So it's kind of like, you know, like you see the eighth grade, you know, 13-year-old boys, you know, they kind of like whisper to each other, you know, they discovered girls, you know, they discovered girls, and they kind of ask themselves, you know, like, you think our mom, no, like, you know, it's like, that's their discussion, you know, like, you think our moms actually know about this stuff? It's like, and their moms, you know, like chuckle, like, dude, how do you think you got here? You know what I'm saying? How do you think you were born? I mean, okay, so the point is, it's totally natural. Hashem told you what you're capable of doing. And he says, listen, do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. Here's a value, here's a behavior. Don't get involved in this behavior. Fine. That's the world of chet, the world of mitzvot lo taseh. And then you turn the page, beginning of Parshas Kisetze, and you encounter the unimaginable. Hashem is saying, here you are, there's a beautiful girl, you're full of desire, go for it. It's nuts. It's crazy. But the Torah is, I find it to be so refreshing. Such an inspiring piece of Torah. I'll tell you why. Because I meet way too many people. I meet way too many people who view the Torah as a chokehold, as constricting, God is just trying to torture us. He says, here, you know, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. Because, oh, like, leave me alone already. Like, come in some slack. This is impossible. I can't do this. Right? Get off my back. Just leave me alone. This is impossible. And then you turn to this page. Page 1047 in the Stoner. In the Stone Chumash. And you discover that God is saying, go for it. Go for it. Why is he, how can he possibly be saying that? And you look at the Gemara, you look at Rashi, and they explain. It's actually quite elementary. Quite simple. And that is that the human condition has it that when people go to war and they go to the battlefield, they have to do something which is just completely, it's completely oppositional to their basic world reality, right? You don't walk around killing people. It's just, that's not what we do. We're not talking about savages or barbarians. We're like, here, Jewish men here. We're like the pretty docile, kind-hearted, gentle people. And here, suddenly, here, what do you have to do? Or anywhere in the world. Go kill, murder, you know, like, chop his head off, you know, stab him, do whatever you need to do, just kill the guy. Kill the guy? It's so animalistic. Now, I've never been on the battlefield, thank God. But the world says, and world history dictates, when people go to battle, they get crazy. They get crazed, right? And become like, they become wild animals. The Gemara says, right, that when you're in war, there's other laws that apply. Laws of kosher don't apply. What do you mean, laws of kosher don't apply? Yeah, just eat whatever you want. Like, just, you know, like, kill. You know, the women show up here, right? And in the world community, they just, hey, you kill everybody and then rape everyone. And here the Torah says, look. Hashem says, look, I understand that while you're in the middle of battle, should never have to happen to us. You're in the middle of battle and you become almost like a monster of a, you know, person. You become Rambo, you know, a killer, right? That our instincts go haywire. Our taiva goes haywire. And Hashem recognizes. Hashem says, I'm not saying it. Hashem says, you know what? At that point, that beautiful woman is just too beautiful. She's too beautiful. It's humanly, physically impossible. Impossible to withstand a desire to sleep with her. Hashem is weighing it. It's not my words, Hashem's words. And therefore, I can't ask you to do something that's impossible. I can't ask you to do something that's too difficult for you to do. Says the Gemara in several places. Lo nitna Torah l'malachi ha'shores. Write this down if you're writing. Lo nitna Torah l'malachi ha'shores. The Torah was not given to angels. The Torah was not given to superhumans. The Torah was given to human beings. With a big fat yitzhar hora. And 612 times, Hashem says, listen, or 3 inches, whatever it is. Hashem says, listen here. You know, control yourself. And on this page, Hashem says, okay. It's okay. You can do it. What's Hashem saying? What's the message? Hashem does not ask the impossible. If it's impossible, we're guaranteed Hashem will never ask us to do something which is impossible. And you want to see a precedent? You want a proof? Right here in front of us. This is impossible. So Hashem says, okay, knock yourself out. But what does that show us? It shed light on the rest of the whole Torah, Kol HaTorah Kula. Every other page, every other paragraph, every other line, every instruction, every piece of advice, everything and every word in this book is possible. It is possible. Never, ever say that this is not possible for you. And whatever it is, I don't care what it is. But it looks so good, but it smells so good, I have to eat that. No, but I can't, it's not physically possible. It is physically possible. And this proves it, because if it was not physically possible, Hashem would never ask us to do it. Inspiring. The lesson? You can, we can control ourselves. Always. Everything. With this exception. Lesson number one. Lesson number two. Let's move away from this. Says Rashi. Right here. Quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin. Lo dibra Torah le keneged yetzer hara. When Hashem was speaking here, he's speaking in response to, in the context of, the huge yetzer hara that we have. Like I just said in this quote. I should bring what I just said. But I would like to share with you an alternative interpretation to these words. I'd like to share with you an alternative interpretation. And listen carefully. It certainly does sound strange. The Torah is telling us, you know, to get involved with, here's the place we can get involved with sin. And everything I said, notwithstanding, but the first few minutes of this year are true. They stand. However, I would like to take a different, you know, another perspective, another angle on how to understand these words. And in that, I'd like to understand and think out loud and learn with you about the science of desire. The science of taiva. The science of the yetzer hara. And learn from that. And learn from this to the rest of the Torah and the rest of our lives. Is it really hot in here or am I dreaming? Why is that not open and why is that not open?
It is open.
Well, that's certainly closed and that's certainly closed. Yeah, that maybe looks a little better. Okay. Says the Gemara. The Gemara tells us a startling statement in Kiddushin. It's a Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. And the Gemara says as follows. Amar Rabbi Eloi. Here. Im roe adam sheyitzro misgaber alav. Let us say that a person realizes. Let us say if a person realizes that they're going to sin. What do they do? What do they do? A person realizes that they are going to sin. They feel like they're losing control. What do we do now? What should we do now? Okay?
What do we do or what should we do?
What should we do? Okay? Here's what we have. The Gemara is opening a question. It's not my question. But it's an important question. It's a question which... it's really hard to find a rabbi to talk about this question. Let's look at it. Let me take my head out of the Gemara for a moment. What happens if a guy realizes that he's out? He's gone. This guy, he's going to sin. What do you do then? You got any advice? It's like, what? You're not allowed to ask a rabbi that question. Rabbi, listen, I'm going to sin, so, you know, any advice for me? So what's the classic answer? What did the rabbi say? Oh, no, my son, don't do that. Don't do that. That's terrible. Don't sin. No. You, please, you're not chas v'shalom thinking about doing something like that. Right? Now, I have to tell you something. A rabbi or a parent that speaks that way is making a mistake. Is making a mistake. Because that's it. The conversation's over. If you can't accept someone where they are, the conversation's over. The guy's, what do you think, he's an idiot? He's gonna try to push for it and ask you the question anyway. Oh, you're not asking me. You're not chas v'shalom asking me about... Yeah, okay, fine. Anyway, forget it. And then that's it. Then he has no rabbi to talk to. What does it say in the Torah? You are out of control with Yetzer Hara. So what should you do? The Torah says, look, you do what you do, just wait 30 days. Now the rabbi is going to give a shiur about how to have an affair. Would you like to attend such a shiur? Okay? Have you ever been to such a shiur? How to have an affair. Hilchas affair. Yeah. Hilchas affair. Hilchas affair. Okay? Where do you find that in Shulchan Aruch? I haven't seen it. Right? Well, guess what? God gives that shear. God gives the shear. He says, look, you know what you want to, you know what you should, here's what you need to know, okay? If you feel like you're out of control and you're going to have an affair, just do me just one thing. Just wait 30 days. Have an affair! Just wait a few days. And then you'll have an affair. So what did that do? So 30 days later, what did that do? Hashem is weighing in on Taiva, on the Yetzer Hara. And he's telling us, Hashem is telling us, push it off. Stall. Just stall. And then sin. And then sin. You ever said, But Rebbe, it seems that the maskana is going to be the end. He's going to sin anyway. So, what's the difference? What's the difference? What's the difference? It says the pasuk of the Torah, "V'lo sasur acharei levavchem acharei neichem, v'lo sikrevu legalus erva." If a person is faced with the time that he feels he's losing control over. Again, of course I'm not saying to do it. I'm not the rabbi who says, everyone go sin. I didn't say that. But let's say it's after that already. The guy's going to sin. It's over. He's going to sin. So now what? So push it off. Push it off for 30 days. And if you can't push it off for 30 days, so push it off for 5 days. And if you can't push it off for 5 days, so push it off for 3 days. Or 1 day. And if you can't push it off for 1 day, so push it off for 12 hours. And sin, just in 1 week. Sin the same way you were going to sin in 12 hours from now. What does that do? What does that do? That's 3 days of being mekayim, of loving Hashem, of being mekayim, the mitzvah, the list, the tzidach, 12 hours? Every second of those 12 hours, of those 3 days, of those, you know, of those 2 weeks, of that month, every second is a giant, huge mitzvah. It's a colossal s'chus. What a merit! What a success! Push it off. And when the time comes, 12 hours are up on your stopwatch, you know? So push it off another 20 minutes. And then, you know what? And then you sin. And then you sin. But look what you've accomplished. Look at the message that you've shown Hashem. Look at the accomplishment that you bring forward. 12 hours of mitzvahs. 3 weeks, 30 days, or even 3 days, whatever you're incapable of. 12 hours and 20 minutes of mitzvahs. And then, unfortunately, 1 minute of aver. Okay. But I tried, Hashem. I showed you. I care. And this is what the Bali Musar is what they say. If Rachman al Islam, you're gonna sin, and we all sin. In Tzadik Baretz, Asher Yasa Tov La Yechta. Everyone sins. Sometime. Stall. Push it off. That is a key of Bifnei Atzma. Had I have an affair? Which rabbi is going to give a shir about having an affair? Guess what? God gives the shir. Because look, you're going to have an affair. Fine, so just 30 days and then you'll have an affair, all right? 30 days. What a message. What a message. Lesson number 2. But let's go deeper. Lesson number 3. Let's go deeper. Let's go back to the Gemara. The Gemara tells us, let's say, Amar Rabbi Eloi Hazaken, Imro Adam Sheyitzu Mesgabra Lav, the person realizes that he's going to sin, and he is. He's doing it. Says the Gemara something significant and interesting. Yelech Lamokam She'ein Makir Naso, V'yilba Shchonin, V'yitzkasa Shchonin, V'yasek Kemosha Libo Chafetz, V'al Yechal Shem Shamayim B'Fraez. Amazing Gemara. If a person is going to do wrong, and it's over, he's doing it. At the very least, take off your yarmulke. Go somewhere where you're not dressed in your, you know, in your chassidish levush. Please, don't show up, you know, to wherever, the makom aver, right? With your tefillin on, you know what I'm saying? And your talis. Disappear. Go to Hickstown. You're going to sin anyway. Okay? Go to Hicksville, and wear different clothing. Where nobody knows who you are. You don't present yourself as an Eved Hashem. And you'll do your sin. And at least you're not going to be Machal Hashem Shamayim Barab. Now, many years ago, One of my teachers in university, so she comes up to me and she says, she has like a big chip on her shoulder. She says, hey, anyone can have an affair. It's according to Jewish law, you can have an affair. I'm like, really? She's like, I just have to just dress differently and go to a different town, you can do it. I said, right, chas v'shalom, that's not what the Gemara is saying at all. The Gemara is not saying that. The Gemara, though, is asking, is being realistic, like many people don't want to be. What if a guy is? He says, look, I'm going to do wrong. So Rabbi Eloi says, listen, at least do the following. If you're going to do wrong, at least don't be Machal Shem Shamayim. Right? Do it in a way where it's not in front of the whole world, you know, whatever. Fine. Fine. You got a question? Says Tosfos, and this is a standalone, again, truth. Says Tosfos, wait a second. He has a different interpretation. He says, come on. Is this really true? This is how he learns. Here. Elokach amar Rabbi Eloi. This is what it means. Yigias drachim v'achsanos ulevishas shchorim mishabrim yetzer hara umonim adam min ha'aver. Says Tosas a totally different pshat. He says that, look, this guy is going to sin, right? So you say, here, look, you want to sin? I get it. You know, you're fine, you're going to sin. So just do the following. Okay? Travel for, you know, travel for 25 hours, okay? And, you know, you'll have to find a place to stay. And you're going to be starving. You have to finally get something to eat. Okay? And remember, when you get there, don't dress in your regular clothes. You have to go to the suit store. You know? You have to go to the clothes. You have to shopping to wear, like, this black clothes. You know, this other stuff. You know? Like, unfortunately, you go to places, you see these guys with a, you know, with a baseball cap, you know, and a beard and payas. So like, and there they are. You're, like, doing something totally wrong. You're like, do you think that I don't know that you're, like, religious? That you just came from who knows where? Yeah, like, oh, yeah, like, with a baseball guy, like, oh, wow, great job, great job. Okay, listen, they're trying, you know, they're trying, fine. But, okay, but, wait a second. But Yitosa says, no, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be hungry and tired, and you travel, and you place to stay, and you have new clothing and all that. Because after all that, you're just too tired anyway to sin. Forget it. In other words, the Torah is the Gemara is sharing a stall tactic.
Not the pshat.
He's suggesting a different pshat. Not the pshat that which we said earlier that okay, wait 30 days and then sin, and that has tremendous value. Okay, that is true. But there's another pshat. If you stall for 30 days and you have to do all these rules, by the time 30 days is over, your big desire is gone. It's over. That was it just disappeared, right? It was a moment of hormonal inspiration. Okay, that's what we have. We're full of hormones and full of desires and full of taiva, and then you had a huge taiva, and then you got distracted by something else. By the time you get on the thing and travel and yeah, and the clothes, it disappeared. That's normal. And then you got control of the reins again. Right? But it's giving you a tachbula, a trick, right? How to increase your chances of not sinning, You know, Reb Nachman tells a beautiful story. Reb Nachman of Breslov, he writes. There are a lot of stories of his that are just so complicated. It's hard to understand what he's talking about. It's actually a story that you can understand, okay? And that is. That a guy is jumped, he's traveling in his wagon, he has, you know, a whole lot of merchandise or gold, and he's jumped by some hooligan, by a bandit. And the guy's pointing his pistol at him. He's like, okay, give me the money. He's like, oh, give me the money. Oh, gosh, I guess I don't, give me the money. Okay, fine, I guess I have no choice, but just do me one favor. I got a problem. He goes, what's the problem? He goes, I have an employer. I can't just... What am I going to say? He's going to show back. I mean, he's for sure going to kill me. He's going to think that I stole the money. Just do me a favor. Can you fire a shot, you know, through the wagon? So the guy says, the bandit says, okay, fine. He fires a shot through the wagon. It's good. Now give me the money. He goes, oh, fine, but just one shot through the wagon? Come on, do me a favor. Do you mind? Can you fire a shot through the wheel? Fire a shot through the wheel. He goes, fine, I'll fire. He fires a shot through the wheel. He goes, good. He goes, give me the money. He goes, listen, I want him to know that it was a real attack. Goes, do you mind? Just, can you fire a shot through the roof also? He goes, fine. He fires a shot through the roof. He goes, get it, give me the money. He goes, well, listen, he might think that, you know, I was involved, you know, I stole the money. Listen, maybe you could, I'll pick up my hat. Could you fire a shot through the hat? Okay, he picks up his hat, he fires his shot, he goes, good, okay, good. He goes, give me the money now, come on, get out with it. He goes, fine, no problem, just do me one favor. I want to make sure he realizes, could you fire a shot through my coat? I'll take off my coat. He goes, fine, darn it. Here, he shoots it there, good. He goes, now give me the money. He goes, just one last favor, okay? Please, if you don't mind, you know, I just want to show that this is for real, you know? I know that you're going to take all the money. Just can you just fire a shot through my, you know, through my case, through the bag I'm carrying, this big thing, you know, my suitcase. It's fine. He fires a shot through the suitcase. He stands back and he fires the shot. And the merchant says, "Wow, thank you so much for doing that, right? And he kicks the horses, hits the rein, pulls the rein, slams the horses, and they go flying, right? And of course, if you were counting, the bandit has nothing to do because he had his six shot, which was fully loaded, but now it's just fully empty. And the guy's gone. There's nothing to do. Says of Nachman, you're going to fight with the Yetzer? How are you going to fight with the Yetzer? Head on? He's a malach. Like, what are you going to do? Are you going to fight the head on with the Yetzer? Just delay him. Stall him. Push him off. You know, here, okay, but we're going to do it. We're going. Oh, yeah. We're on the way. Okay, here. We're Vegas? Yeah, we're on the way to Vegas. Let's go. You know, Vegas, here we come. You know, just this. Stop for this. That's what Tosfos is saying. And by the time you get there, you know, there's no money left. There's no, you're hot. You haven't eaten in 2 days. Just forget it. You know, it's over. Like, listen, I had a moment of tremendous desire that seized me, and now it's gone. Right? So, you know, play your cards carefully with the Yetzer Hara. That is what we see. I was thinking, the Gemara tells us in Brachas and Daf Hei, because it's very interesting, the Gemara says, again, the same story. What does a person do to deal with the Yetzer Hara and sin? Says the Gemara, you know what you should do? You should get your... If a person is faced with sin, you should try to rile up your Yetzer HaTov and get your Yetzer HaTov angry at your Yetzer Hara. That's what the Gemara says. Get, you know, give a pep talk to get your Yetzer Tov angry. Get him angry at your Yetzer Hara. Okay, fine. And then the Gemara says, but that's great if it works, but what if it doesn't work? It says, well, if it doesn't work, then you should learn Torah. Says Gemara, okay, great. But what if that doesn't work? Well, if that doesn't work, then you should, you know, after you learn that, you know, you learn the Seder, it didn't work, you know? Okay, good. So now say Kriya Shema. Okay, fine. Okay, Kriya Shema, fine. And what happens if that doesn't work? Well, if that doesn't work, so then, you know, think about and contemplate the day of death. You know, you're going to die one day. Right? Think about what that's going to be like, you know, when you die and come before the heavenly tribunal. Good. So everyone wonders, like, and everyone fresh and asks, like, what's going on here? Like, if that's the big deal, so just, if the day of death, that's going to somehow do something for you and get you in the right place. So just do that. Just cut straight to the, you know, to the day of death. Right? You see that? So perhaps you can understand this Gemara in the same way. In other words, there's like a whole list of Gemara says, okay, here, you feel like you have to sin. Okay, good. I get it. You're going to sin. So, okay, here's what you do. Okay, here's the sin kit. You know? Okay, what are the instructions? Well, number one, get mad. Okay, fine. I'm working on it. You know, get mad. Okay, now learn, you know, learn for an hour. Okay, good. We're going to learn. Now say Kriya Shema. You know, now think about this. By the time you're done, it's like, just forget the whole thing. It's like, you just, it's over, right? You get to her, right? Like Tosfos, right? It kind of left you, right? I'm saying, suggesting maybe that's a shot in the Gemara. Almost like Aaron HaKohen, remember? He tells the Jewish people, he said, we want to build a golden calf. And they're nuts. You know, they're really crazed. They're like in a wild frenzy. So what does he say? He killed. They started killing people, right? So what does Aaron say? Sure, we're going to do it. Tomorrow. We're going to do it. Just tomorrow, right? So unfortunately, in the end, that didn't work out. But you know, you have to imagine that this is the tactic that he's using. Fine. So that's lesson number three. Understanding that when we push something, we push off a sin, right? It's very possible that delay is going to work in our favor. That look, as Rashi says, Dibra Torah Keneged Yetzer Hara, as the Gemara says, Keneged Yetzer Hara. You can understand in order to beat the Yetzer Hara, right? It's a different pshat. Not because your Yetzer Hara is just, you hear the difference. Not the simple pshat, which is Yetzer Hara is going to sin anyway. So at least. Okay, you'll do what you do, or at least push it off, right? But here, you see, no. The Torah speaks to the Yetzer Hara, how to beat the Yetzer Hara. Right, that's the Tosfos, you know, would say. That's how you'll beat the Yetzer Hara. Yes, dude. Okay. Anytime. So you can ask anything. Now, what we're learning here in this story is what you see here is that the Torah is telling, introducing the idea of tachbulas, introducing the idea of trying to negotiate and do things in order to escape the powerful clutches of the Yetzer Hara. Right? Here the ideas are introduced to us. How to somehow win. How to fight. Right? How to somehow outsmart the Yetzer Hara. So, I was thinking that being that we're already on this topic, and the Torah presented it to us, right here at the beginning of the Parsha, I was thinking that maybe we'll take a few moments to add some other lessons. Add other lessons and other ideas and other tricks, we would call them, from Chazal, about how to, and elsewhere, right? To try to, again, out-negotiate and outsmart and somehow make sure that we come out winning and beating the Yetzer Hara. So the next idea, which I guess we call lesson number four, comes from a Gemara, which Rashi brings. If you turn to Shmos, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, you can announce the page. Shmos, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, the Pasuk there talks about, page 424 in the stone Chumash. Okay, so now, if you turn to page 424, you'll find there the Torah tells us a halacha, a law, which states, let us say a person steals. What's the halacha? If you steal and you're caught, you have to pay back double. Fine, to pay back double. But what happens, turn to Pasuk Lamed Zayin, what happens if a person steals a shar or a bull? You steal a cow, okay, in verse 37. You steal a cow, an ox, or a sheep, or a goat, okay, and you either sell it or you eat it. What's the halacha? Says the Torah, you pay 4 or 5 times the price, okay, the amount of what you stole. Either 4 or 5 times. Now, it's already way more than double. Okay? We're not going to discuss now why exactly you pay so much more. The Gemara itself discusses it. Okay? It's not for now. But what is curious, if you're observing and reading the Torah, is 4 or 5? Like, why the difference? What does the Torah say? If you steal the ox, you pay 5 times the amount of the ox. If you steal the sheep, you pay 4 times the amount of the sheep. Now, wait, why? Why? Why the difference between if you steal a sheep and eat it or steal an ox and eat it? 5 times the amount of the ox and 4 times the amount of the sheep? Why? The Gemara says something fascinating. Fascinating. The Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma, because, Rashi brings it here, because what happens when you run out, when you steal a sheep? Have you ever stolen a sheep? Have you ever stolen an ox? Right? Difficult to steal an ox, right? Difficult. How can you run away? There's no getaway car, you know what I'm saying? There's no hydraulic lifts here. There's no trucks. How do you steal an ox? You actually show up, you climb over the fence, open the gate, and you schlep out the ox, tie the thing around his neck, and you walk him out, walk him around. Walk him across town, hopefully 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. No one's watching you. There's nothing else to do, right? That's what you do. Good, you did wrong. You did wrong. And how do you steal the sheep? Well, the sheep you can actually carry on you can actually lift the sheep. It's heavy, but you can do it. You can lift him up, and if you're in a rush, Billy the Kid trying to, run for his life, you pick up the sheep, you put him on your back, and you run like a fireman, The sheep are across your shoulders and run for your life. Hopefully you won't get caught. Says the Gemara. When you run through town carrying a sheep on your back, you look like the world's biggest idiot. You're making a huge fool of yourself. You see, hey, you see that guy? Look at that guy. He's running down the street with a sheep on his back. I've never seen that before. He's you know, everyone's laughing at him. He embarrasses himself. Right? He's a laughing stock. He makes a fool of himself.
Because he's doing this sin publicly.
No, forget the sin. Because he looks like an idiot.
Just because he
Have you ever walked around with a sheep on your shoulders?
No.
I imagine if you did, people would be like, "What's with that dude?" Right? You never saw anyone walk like that. Right. But he's walking like he looks like a fool. Right? And he's embarrassed, you know, all the way to the bank. Right? He's embarrassed all the way home. Right? So, says the Gemara, because he's embarrassed, he pays less. We knock off part of his punishment because he was disgraced. He was disgraced while he was sinning. It's considered very disgraceful what he's doing. Right? Outside of the sin. Outside of the sin. Unrelated to the sin. Right? He makes a fool of himself while he's sinning. And that is, you know, 25 minutes of embarrassment. And because he is embarrassed while he's sinning, so it knocks down the level of the severity of the sin. And therefore he pays only 4 times instead of 5 times. What do you see from this amazing Gemara? If you look deeply, we can glean an insight from this Gemara. And that is, sin, sadly. If you sin, if you're out of control and you're going to sin, if you can figure out a way to inject, to infuse your sin with difficulty, if you can infuse a discomfort into your sin, so that's somewhat of a redeeming factor. You still might go to hell, but okay. But you know what? It's less of a sin. If you're sinning and you're fully enjoying the sin, it's more, that is a higher level, considered more sinful than if you are not enjoying the sin. So you say, listen, I got to eat that cheeseburger. Just get out of my way. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to eat it. Right? So you have 2 choices. You can eat it with a beer, you know, and a nice cigar there on the side, you know, watching the ball game. You could. Or you could go out into the rain and eat it. Right? You can eat it standing on 1 foot. You know what I'm saying? You can eat it. You know, not with it. No ketchup. You know, whatever it is. In other words, you can infuse sadness or discomfort into the sin. Guess what? It works. It knocks it down. It knocks it down a notch or two. I'm not telling you to sin, but I am telling you that we all sin. All of us. All of us. So let's say again, here, I'm going to eat the cheeseburger. Okay, fine. So pinch yourself while you eat it. You know what I'm saying? You'll do better. You'll get a better score than I, you know. You'll get a better score, you know, better rating in hell. You know? I'm not trying to make fun of it. But that's what we're learning here. If you're uncomfortable while you sin, so, okay. You did better. There's some improvement. Some improvement. A radical idea, but a Torah idea. Okay. Now let's change the channel here. Let us see what we can see. looking across the Gemaras, I'd like to share with you a thought that an idea that I had many years ago, and I haven't spoken much about it. You know, sometimes you have something that's like, it's like you kind of like been there, done that, and I don't know, you almost like forget about it. You stop saying it. You know, it's something that you know very well, or you've said, and then you just, you know, you kind of just forget about it. And I was thinking about this, these lessons in today's parsha. I was thinking, you know, this is something I don't know, I haven't said in a long time, and I want to share it. And the truth is that I was thinking about it today. It is just so very beautiful. If you turn to the Tosefta, at the very last Tosefta in Masechtas Ma'aseh Sheni, the very last Tosefta, the Tosefta says the following. Okay, Tosefta is like a brisa. It says the following. Listen carefully. There it says, Kol ha'oskin b'mitzvos pihem patuach b'tfila lifnei ha'makom. Kol ha'oskin b'mitzvos pihem patuach b'tfila lifnei ha'makom. It continues, but we're going to stop reading in inside for now. The Tosefta is telling us that somebody who does a mitzvah has a prayer opportunity. What are we talking about today, ladies and gents? Gents and gents. The topic of our class here today is control and desire. How can we get in the ring with the Yetzer Hara? And we're looking for advice. We're looking for techniques. You know, so much of what we do is kind of like going face to face, going head to head, right? Confronting the Yetzer Hara head on. And that's difficult. That's difficult. So we had one technique just before, you know, kind of dodge to the side, stall for time, you know. But here we see something, I think, very beautiful. The Tosefta is telling us that someone who does a mitzvah has an opportunity for prayer. And if you look, and I'm not going to go through all the places that I've the list that I've put together, but there are many times we do a mitzvah and we daven while we do the mitzvah. Many times, people take challah, they daven. Women, they light Shabbos candles, they daven. Chuppah. Right? Chuppah we daven. At a bris milah we daven. Even benching, which is a mitzvah. After benching, we start the whole long chapters of haracham on this, haracham on that. When we do a mitzvah, there's an opportunity for tefillah. Right? And by the way, that idea is not just found in the Tosefta. Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar, in Shmos, in Parshas Yisro, in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Gimel, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar introduces and presents this idea that when women light Shabbos candles, they should daven. And his words are, I'll read them to you, Hatfila yoter nishmat b'shat asiyat mitzvah. Did you hear that? A prayer is more heard and accepted at the time when you're doing a mitzvah. And it makes perfect sense. When you're doing a mitzvah, what are you doing? Right? You're giving it, so to speak. You're doing something for Hashem. Right? Yeah, Hashem, you want me to do this. I'm doing it. Doesn't that make sense? When you give a gift to someone, you give a compliment to someone, isn't it logical? Doesn't it happen all the time? Isn't it our experience that that's when the person says, or gives you a compliment back, or wants to give you a compliment, or wants to give you a gift back? You've been really nice to them. They want to be nice to you. Right? Kiviyachol, when you do a mitzvah to Hashem, that is an opportunity, a time that you can daven. Now, we kind of think that when we think about mitzvahs, for some reason, we think about mitzvahs, I say, put on tefillin, right? Do bris milah. Mitzvahs essays. Light Shabbos candles. What about mitzvahs los essays? Are mitzvahs los essays mitzvahs? Of course they are. They're just the same. They're just the same as any other mitzvah, as any mitzvahs essay. Right? Don't eat a cheeseburger. Don't eat meat and milk together. Don't. Right? Don't eat pig. Don't do that. When you don't eat pig, What are you accomplishing? It's a huge mitzvah. Huge mitzvah. Right? If you smell a cheeseburger and you're so desperate for it, guess what? It's at that moment that you're fulfilling a mitzvah. just to even be aware of it, guys. Just to be aware of that. Wait, excuse, pardon my French here. Right? When that beautiful, way too attractive girl is walking down the street with, just right out here, right, unfortunately, right out here with barely anything on, and whatever's on is like, you know, three sizes too small. Okay? You got a problem. We got a problem, guys, right? Let's call it like it is. Let's call it like it is. What are you doing then? What do you do then? Right? Guess what? Here's my humble suggestion. That is the ultimate opportunity for tefillah. Let's not think about it. Don't think about purple elephants. What do you think about purple elephants? Don't look at the girl. Don't think that way. Don't look at it that way. Certainly don't look at it. Don't understand it that way. Why don't you consider understanding the situation in a totally different way? The moment that woman turns the corner, your opportunity is, the gates of heaven close. But as long as you're accomplishing the mitzvah, you have a giant opportunity to make a wish. You can ask Hashem for anything. That's like the ultimate opportunity to do a mitzvah, to offer a prayer, to say a tefillah. Right? to say a tefillah. In other words, what I'm showing you is, right, as the Tosefta said, the Rabbeinu Bachai said, when a person has a mitzvah in front of them, when you're doing a mitzvah, you get a ticket alongside of it, which gives you a free tefillah. You can ask for whatever you want. You can daven. At a time of doing a mitzvah, you can daven. And the harder the mitzvah, right, the tougher the mitzvah, the more you can daven. Here's an extremely difficult mitzvah. It's a mitzvah's losaseh, right? What we call a negative mitzvah. I don't like using that because it sounds like it's a negative mitzvah. It's actually a positive negative mitzvah. It is a negative mitzvah, but it's not negative. It's positive, but it's not positive because it's a negative mitzvah. It's confusing. So so it's basically a mitzvah losaseh. It's a prohibition. But that's a huge, big mitzvah. It's a huge mitzvah losaseh. Right? I was once standing with one of my students right here in the Old City, right here, and I was standing here, he was standing talking to me, and behind him was like, there was this killer woman dressed to kill, and there she, and I knew this guy was like, that was it. It was game over. The conversation was over. Everything was over. I'm like, oh man, what am I doing now? How am I going to save this guy? Like, when I'm like, get down! What am I going to say? What am I going to do? I'm like, listen. Because I said, listen again, my friend, this is many years ago, I said, listen, I just want to tell you, it says in the Torah, right, that you're supposed to have Simcha Shel Mitzvah, right? Everybody knows, Simcha Shel Mitzvah, what does Simcha Shel Mitzvah mean? Translate that. Yeah, you're supposed to be joyful when you do a mitzvah. When you eat the matzah, be happy, right? When you do a mitzvah, put on tefillin, you should be happy. And who says that's only by mitzvah saseh? By action, positive mitzvahs. It's also by mitzvah losaseh. Simcha shel mitzvah, right? You see that? Right? If you right, I'll explain. So if you don't eat that cheeseburger that smells so good, if you don't eat that bread on Pesach, it's when you drive past Stella Doro, right? Like I had Stella Doro where I grew up. It's like, oh my gosh, it's like it's painful on Pesach. You're like, oh, right. So what do you do then? Like trying to breathe it in, even right? So. Don't do it with tears in your eyes. Simcha shel mitzvah. You should be joyous when you do a mitzvah. I said, listen, my friend, we're about to have a mitzvah opportunity. I said, now, do you believe me? A mitzvah opportunity? He goes, yeah. He goes, what are we doing? Isn't it right that you're supposed to dance when you're doing a mitzvah? He's like, for sure. He's like following on his rabbi, right? So let's start dancing. We start dancing on the street. We're dancing. Of course, this woman's like thinks we're totally nuts. She's like, you know, cross, go somewhere else, you know. Like, but, and then of course the guy chopped, you know, he like figured out what was happening afterwards. I'm like, listen, I explained to him. Listen, we have a mitzvah here. We're doing. Go dance, start dancing, right? Simcha shel mitzvah. If you don't look at the girl, you should be happy, right? You're doing a big mitzvah when you're not looking at the girl. We say it every day in Kriya Shema. Do not stare at the girl, right? That's what it says in the Torah. We say it every day, twice a day at least, right? Right? So, fine. But besides, it's just Simcha Shel Mitzvah. It's not just. You also realize that I'm giving you a gift here. I'm giving you a gift. You have an opportunity to make a wish. You have an opportunity to daven. And that davening opportunity, when you're faced with a tremendous desire, is only available to you during the moment of desire. Right? While that test is happening. Once the test is over, once she turns the corner, that's it. No prayer. The gates of heaven close, and you don't have a mitzvah to, you know, the concept of staring at this girl who's walking past is no, she's not there anymore, right? So that avera, right, that mitzvah losa say, is no longer there. So therefore, you cannot daven anymore. Guys, I would advise you to have a go-to prayer, short list of your biggest wishes, okay? You don't want to be sitting like, what should I pray for? No. You don't want to like, listen, whatever it is, like, oh my God, make me rich, you know, okay, get me the job, you know, here, Hashem, please let me pass that test, you know, please Hashem, give me this, get me that, you know, help me find my shit, who knows, whatever it is, right? Just let me be a success, whatever you, here, refu shalema for this one, whatever it is, just be on the ready. And then suddenly it's a totally different game. It's nothing to do with the girl. You're busy with your opportunity, right? Certainly a shift. I want to share a different perspective, an additional idea. The Gemara tells us in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Tes and Daf Mem Amud Aleph an amazing thing. The Gemara tells us that Kol haba dvar erva liyado v'nitzal hemenu osin lo nes. An astounding statement in Shas. A person who is faced with the Yetzer Hara, and he wants to, he's stuck trying to overcome his desires, and he does so successfully, Hashem will make a miracle for him. I did not, these are not my words. The Gemara says it. And the Gemara says it as a statement. Kol haba dvar erva liyado v'nitzal hemenu. Someone who's faced with a big desire to do a sin, a sexual misdemeanor, right, or just a taiva, he wants to do something wrong, and he saves himself from it, osin lo nes. The Gemara says that Hashem will make a miracle for him. And the Gemara tells stories. The Gemara says that Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi, that was his name, Tavate Ahimai Chonisa, wild Gemara. This Roman noblewoman was like really interested in Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi. Must have been a handsome guy, nice beard. Okay, really attractive face. I don't know, but there was something she really liked about him. Okay, so she made a pass at him. So Rabbi Chanina, he felt like he couldn't control himself. So what did he do? The Gemara says, Amar Milsa. He was desperate to save himself. He realized he's going to sin. He's going to say he's going to do wrong. So what did he do? He pronounced the Shema Mefarash. He uttered the holy name of God in order to make a miracle, right? That something should happen to him to save him from the sin. Says the Gemara, what happened? Okay, his whole body became, in a moment, became full of boils and scabs. Not exactly as attractive as he was moments before. But this woman, right, she was able to see the deep inner beauty of Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi. And she, the Gemara says, of the Himilsa, the Itse, she did witchcraft and healed him. So he's back to his Prince Charming self. And he was like trying to knock her off, get out of here, make himself unattractive. But it didn't work. Now she's back on him here. And he realizes he's out of control. He's losing control. So the Gemara says, Arak, he ran away. Tasha ba'ahu be'bani, d'chi ahava island, betrayin afila be'amama having mitzgi. Okay? But it was not for now, but he ran into a place of demons. I'll discuss this at a different time, whatever. In those days, the bathrooms and the outhouses and the Beis HaMerchatz, the bathhouses, right? We're full of demons, whatever. Not for now. He runs for basically like suicide jump into a place of full of demons where you can't come out alive, right? He runs in there. Obviously, the girl can't follow him, right? So everyone thought, okay, he's gone. Lamacha the next day, he walks out. Amalei Rabbanan, what happened to you? How'd you make it out alive? What was going on in there? And he says, well, you want to know? I'll tell you what was going on in there. When I walked in there, there were these two massive soldiers with weapons that, from the Roman soldiers, who Shamruni Kalalala, they guarded me the whole night. So that's what he tells the rabbis. The rabbis say, what? Shema Dvar Erva Baliyotcha V'nitzalta Himenu? Is it possible you were faced with some type of sexual test to control your sexual desires and you passed it? Right? Because the Tanina, there's a Braisa. Kol Haba Dvar Erva Liyad V'nitzal Himenu Osin Lones. A miracle happens for someone who controls the Yetzirah. And guess what? That's what happened. That's exactly what happened to him. And the Gemara tells another story. Rav Kahana, he was the same kind of story. He was propositioned by this woman. He couldn't control it. He says, oh, let me just go slip into something a little bit more comfortable. I'll be right back. Right? He runs into his house, climbs to the top, and jumps off the roof. So the Gemara says, I'm not kidding, the Gemara says, he climbs to the top of the building, he's like, he knew he couldn't control himself. So he's like, that's it, he's about to sin with this woman, have an affair, Gilead arrives, he jumps off the roof. The Gemara says, Elio Anavi, whoosh, like Superman, flies in from across the world and catches him. That's what the Gemara says, he catches him, right? And the Gemara says, yeah, listen, why did it happen? Okay, he controlled his Yetzirah. If you control Yetzirah, right, you can not just, am I saying that not just can you daven and ask for what you want, anything, you can daven, it's an opportunity to daven, you can expect miracles. You want a miracle in your life? You need a miracle? I know I need miracles. Who doesn't need a miracle? Right? The Gemara says, Miforash, openly, if you can, you're tevei through the Yetzirah, you can hope for miracles. So the Gemara says. Now, the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, no. You do not have to be a Gadol Hadar. That's what I'm telling you. This Gemara is not for Gadol Hadar. It's not. And don't say something, cynical. No. Saying, in other words, the Gemara is saying an unbelievable lesson. Right? And you, 1 second, I'm not done. I have to end. So I'll take your question. Okay? I'll get you. So now, I want to tell a story. A new idea. Okay? A new idea. No, okay. Says the Gemara the following story. Now, this story, I want you to remember forever. The Gemara tells us that something which many of us know, and we need chizuk. We need chizuk, and this is what we have to know. One of the ways that we can save is a different idea. One of the ways that we can save ourselves from sin. Okay, maybe one of the most important ways that we can save ourselves from sexual misconduct. The Gemara tells a story about of Amram Chasida, Kiddushin Pei Aleph, those who are writing. The Gemara says that there were some girls who were taken captive, and the Jewish community rescued them. And they were orphans, or they were foreigners, wherever they were. And they saved them. They brought them to the Jewish community. And they needed a place to be, a place to stay. So where do they stay? Rav Amram Chasida had an attic, had a loft. So they they brought the girls. He hosted them. They brought the girls, put them in the attic. But there's one problem. I guess he was alone. His wife wasn't there. He's alone in the house with girls. You can't do that. So what did he do? No problem. Right? What's that called? Yichud. What did he do? He take the ladder, it's a giant staircase of a ladder, heavy thing. Okay, it took 10 people to carry, the Gemara says. 10 people could carry. They got 10 people. And they actually removed the ladder from the ceiling. Removed the ladder, this giant piece of furniture ladder. They removed it and put it to the side of the room, right? So
now they're captives.
Now, right, right, not captives, but now in other words, until the morning, right, it's like a different floor. You know, it's a different house. There's no, you know, it's like there's a seal. There's no way to get from one place to the other. Fine. Says the Gemara. What happened? The sun came through the window, and one of the girls was walking by the thing, the trap door of the attic, you know, what do you call it, the pathway into the attic. And Rav Amram Chasida looked up at that moment, and he saw her form. He saw her. And he became wild. He became drunk with incredible desire. He lost control of himself. He says, I must be intimate with this girl. I have to. She's gorgeous. Says the Gemara. He grabbed Avram Chasida, got up. He walked to the corner of the room. He picked up this giant, enormous wooden ladder. It takes 10 people to lift it. He carries it himself and brings it to the middle of the room and connects it to the skylight, right? How could a person do that? Last week's shiur. If you're really remember I told you? If you're really desperate, you can do anything, right? It's an emergency. It's an emergency, right? I have to get that girl. Oh, no. What now? And Rav Amram Chasida begins to climb the ladder. One rung, the next rung, the next rung. And he's halfway up the ladder. And he realizes, oh no, I'm about to do the unthinkable. It's over. I can't control myself. What do I do now? But that's it, I have to sin. And he begins to scream, Nurad Be'Avram! Nurad Be'Avram! The fire! 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 Yelling and screaming, fire! 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 Oh my gosh, there's no fire alarms. He's yelling at the top of his lungs. Fire in Rav Amram's house. Of course, the whole city, the whole neighborhood, like wait, they're screeching. Oh my God, there's fire! And they have pails and water, and they run to the house and they see him like standing halfway up the ladder. What the heck is going on? There's no smoke. There's no fire. Whatever it is, you know, it's I don't know, 6 a.m. Whatever it's going on there. Becomes clear. What's happening here? And he says, look, I was on the edge. I was losing myself. I was going to sin. So, the best way to save myself from sexual misconduct is to make sure that there are other people there. If there are other people in the room, I'm not going to sin, right? I'm not going to go around and ask you for your worst sins, but I can guarantee you one thing. You didn't do them with your mom sitting next to you. Am I right? I'm so smart. Yeah? Well, guess what? That's how it works. So I called. It was Yichud. And I called, you guys came running, and then it wasn't Yichud anymore. Look, now I'm not going to sin. So the Gemara says that the rabbis, his students, were mortified. His students and his colleagues, they were so mortified. They said, "You embarrassed us. Look what you've done here. You've been so embarrassing. You're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing us. Like, what are you doing?" And Rav Amram says the amazing words, and the Gemara calls him Rav Amram Chasida. Rav Amram Chasida. The Gemara says, Amalahu, Mutav, it's better. Tichsavu be Amram be Alma Hadain, velo tichsavu minei la Alma de Asi. It's better. You're right, I did embarrass myself. I did. But it's better that, you know, you and I be embarrassed in this world than we be embarrassed in the next world. What a Gemara. What power. And we're talking about the greatest. Look, if the greatest rabbis, Rav Amram Chasida, he's an Amora. You understand? These guys could raise the dead. Do you understand how great these rabbis are? He's called Rav Amram Chasida. He's not even a regular rabbi. He's a chassid. If these rabbis can admit that they have a Yetzer Hara, that they got a problem with girls and controlling their eyes and minds, don't you think we can admit that? What? You think you're greater than Rav Amram Chasida? With all due respect. But what are we learning here? This is what we call yichud. This is yichud. Yichud, which is so dangerous. Which is so dangerous. And I want to read to you from the Rambam. The Rambam, the end of Yisurei Biah, right? He has a number of very famous comments.
It is dangerous.
Yichud. It's yichud, is being alone, seclusion. It's being secluded with a woman is very, is the, it, that's the, that is the, you know, it's the gateway sin. Don't do that. Once you do that, you've crossed the lines, and anything can happen, right? And listen to the words of the Rambam. I'm reading the in Yisurei Biah Perek Chav Beis at the end. Yuches. There is no desire, there's no sin. In all of Judaism, in the whole Torah, there is no sin. The most difficult desire, the biggest yetzer, the difficult, most difficult sin to stay clean and stay clear of is arayas. Right? Sexual misconduct on some level. On whatever level. Right? Controlling your eyes, controlling your mind, controlling your behaviors, right? All those things. Right? It's the most difficult. Ve'ena tamotze kal, b'chol zman uzman. You do not find a Jewish community anywhere in the world, any point in world history. It's an amazing statement that the Rambam's making. There is no community in our community we're safe from sexual, misconduct. Wrong. Yeah, but we're talking about nusper. Wrong. Right? We're talking about meisharim. Wrong. I didn't say it. The Rambam's saying. There are affairs happening even in meisharim. Not sure how that looks. I don't really want to think about that. But that's what's happening. Right? Okay? The Rambam's saying it. There is no community in the world that it can say, oh yeah, we don't have a problem with, you know, controlling our desire for give that rise. Everywhere, always. So you're never clean. You're never safe. You must protect it, baby. Be careful. Right? Make sure that it doesn't happen to you. Okay? Lefichach. A person should be careful to deal with this, right? To keep himself in check. And hear the words of the Rambam. Listen to this. V'yizayir min hayichud. Shehu hagorem hagadol. Shehu hagorem hagadol. Stay clear from secluding yourself with a woman. Because that is the ultimate cause of sexual misdemeanors, sexual misconduct. The Rambam gives us a promise. You will never sin if you make sure to keep that, you know, stay away from the yellow line, you know, just stay back. Don't make sure that you don't seclude yourself with a woman, and then you'll be clean, you'll be safe. Right? It's the Gorim HaGadol. That is what Rav Aharon Chassid is teaching us. That's what he's teaching us. Rav Aharon Chassid is saying, listen, as long as if there's someone in the room, you won't sin. And this is what, look, today we have to say that there's a concept called Internet Yichud. Internet Yichud. You know, how can you live in this world without you're gonna have a personal computer, or even worse, whatever other machinery, if it doesn't have a filter in it, you're alone in the room with it. Impossible. That's it. You broke the Rambam's rule. Internet. You can't have internet. Yichud. Can't. It's a guarantee. You're gonna sin. It's gonna happen. So what do I do, Rabbi? You know what you do? Don't make sure that doesn't happen to you. Make sure it's against the Torah to be alone in an unprotected environment where you're secluded with a woman. Right? And that comes in different forms and technology today. Of course you messed up. Right? You didn't follow the Gemara. Do it Rav Aharon say, in the middle of the night you're gonna hear the door, fire. Yeah, that's it. Scream fire, scream louder. Scream
ladder.
Yeah, exactly. Scream louder. Scream louder. Right? Fine. That's that. But I want to end. I'm ending. Leave me alone. I'm ending. Okay? But I want to end with the following two thoughts. Okay? And these are, just as important, maybe a little bit more well-known, but how could I not say them, giving a shiur about trying to make a somewhat of a list of pieces of advice about how to save ourselves from the Yetzer Hara. The Gemara tells us, also Kiddushin, and the Flamid, Days, and the Gemara says also in Sukkah. The Gemara tells us famously, the best way to the way that you can keep away, hold yourself in check, and beat the Yetzer Hara is by taking drugs. Okay, says the Gemara, v'samtem es devarayela al levavchem. Says the Gemara, yeah. The samtem, I had certain yeshivas really would like me, yeah, very much interested in me teaching there. The samtem, says the Gemara, don't read it with samtem as one word, but rather samtam. What does sam mean in Hebrew? Drugs, right? Samtam, the perfect drug. What is the perfect drug? The Torah. It says the Gemara, because the plan works. If you take these words and put them on your heart, you'll be safe. Says the Gemara, I'm not making it up. The Gemara is saying, it's drugs. I'm not using it. I'm telling you. Call your mom, and tell her what you learned in yeshiva. Okay, the rabbi said to take drugs. That's what you learned in yeshiva. Here. Okay, to do drugs. And not just drugs. The ultimate, the perfect drug. Okay, what's that? You should take the words of Torah and put them on your soul. If you do that, you will be safe. And the Gemara says a lashon, a very beautiful lashon, right? In paga b'cha menuvel zeh. If you meet the Yetzer, and that's it, you're in your trouble. Mashcheu lebeis hamedrash, drag him to the base medrash. If you could just get on base, that's the way I like to refer to it. If you can get in base, just get to the base medrash. If you're on base, you're safe. Right? Cops and robbers? No? If you're on base, the Gemara promises you, you're safe. If you learn Torah, you will be safe. You will be protected, and the Yetzer Hara will not be able to kill you, will not be able to ruin you. You just have to make sure to get on base, right? And get to the Beis Medrash, and follow up with the next paragraph of the Rambam. The Rambam says, and this is so precious, the last paragraph of the Rambam here, Gedola Mikol, the very last words of the Rambam. Gedola Mikol, more than any other thing that can help you control your Yetzer Hara, Shaya, is Amru, Chazal say, Yifana Atzmo Machshavta LeDivrei Torah. A person should focus his mind on learning Torah. V'yarchiv Daita B'chachma, She'ein Machsheves Arayos Misgaberes Ela B'leiv Ponim Menachachma. The only person who's at risk. We're at risk, kids. We're at risk. You're at risk. You're only at risk if, says the Rambam, your mind is empty. If your mind is focused, if you're busy thinking about a sugya, then you're safe. The story goes, And it is difficult for me to repeat this story, but it certainly captures the point. That if I'm not mistaken, maybe it was, I don't know, it was one of them, maybe the Briska Rav or Reb Chaim Briska, one of them, once they walked up to their kid and they said, "What are you thinking about?" Right? He said, "I'm thinking about this." And he slapped him across the face. It's not for you.
He's not thinking about this?
Whatever he was thinking about, right? Oh. He slapped him across the face. He goes, "What did you do that for?" Dad, is the dad slapped the kid across the face. He goes, "Why weren't you thinking and learning?" Right, no, okay, that's not for me and you, right? But 1 second. I do this to my kids all the time. But I'm just kidding. But I will say the following. Now look, if a guy comes up to me and says, "Hey, I was in the middle of Beis Medrash, it was in the middle of first Seder, morning Seder, and I cannot repeat the thoughts that were going through my mind." Right? And you say, "Listen, maybe you want to try that, it's not so good, it's not really right, it's like, no, they were like really dirty, sinful fantasies I was thinking about." He said, "Look," and the guy says, "Look, and it's not my fault, I can't control my mind, anyway, right? How am I supposed to control my mind, right? I'm not an angel." So, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Matthew Solomon who said, "Look, you're right. You are a human being. You can't control your mind. But it is your fault. Because if you were learning the Gemara, if your mind was already, occupied, it's like you go to the bathroom, red or blue, red or green. Is there someone in there or not? Is it occupied or not occupied? If your brain is occupied, the Yetzirah can't enter. If your brain is open and doing nothing. So that's when the Yetzirah starts up with you. You're right. You can't control your mind. But why was your mind open? Why were you doing that? Why were... That's what the rabbi is saying, right? Slap this kid. Why aren't you thinking about Torah? Right? If you are indeed engaged in learning, right, you'll be safe. And that's the... that is something, as the Rambam ends his comments, that is something which will save us. And how could I not comment? How could I not comment on the troubled, difficult world that we live in today? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be negative, but just the fact is that the world has dramatically changed. Yeshiva life and Yeshiva Bachim's challenges have dramatically, dramatically changed. In that, today with our, everyone has a smartphone. So the smartphone has become like a body part. That's the problem. It's become a body part. It's like become part of us. Like, you see people like that have these like nervous breakdowns, like a detox moment, like a nebuch, like a withdrawal, like, you ever see that? Like some guy in the street, like, oh my gosh, I'm on my phone, like, okay, fine, but you're gonna miss the flight, I don't care, you're gonna get fired, I don't care, I gotta go get my phone. Like, it's like people are nuts, it's like they left with their house, without their heart, without the phone. And they can't live without them. So their body, 1 second, their phones are like body parts. So if you're doing kosher, you're a kosher guy, okay, well listen, it's a body, it's a problem. But if your phone, you're engaged, on your phone you're engaged with sinfulness and unholy stuff, so then you have the most huge problem. Why? Because the Gemara has an expression, Tovel v'sheretz biyado. What does that mean? You've heard that Gemara? The Gemara tells us, if you're trying to become pure, what do? We go to the mikveh, right? Good. The mikveh works. But there's one time that the mikveh does not work. And that is, if you're holding something which is impure, let's say an animal which is impure, right? A dead animal. Okay? So great. You touched it. Go to the mikveh. You'll be clean. But there's one exception. You're holding the sheretz. You're holding the dead rat. And you get undressed. You're standing there in your birthday suit. And you go into the mikveh holding the rat. You're an idiot. The mikveh doesn't do anything. You were saying, "Oh, now I'm safe. Oh my God, it's with me. You brought it with you." It doesn't. The Gemara says, "Yeah, sure. You go to the Beis Medrash, you'll be safe. It won't help you if the thing is in your pocket. You're busy on the thing. Why in the Beis Medrash? You didn't accomplish anything. There was never a world, never a generation, never a yeshiva that had this problem. Today we have new problems. Even in the base, you're not on base. We're not safe, right?" Especially, we're doing things that are not kosher on our phones. So we can't escape. Your mom, you lock yourself in. You're stuck. We're doomed. And finally, the Gemara says that, like I said, Yichud helps us. Yichud will save us. Torah will save us. And how could I not say, in conclusion, that Tefillah will help us? As the Gemara says, also Kiddushin Daf Lamed, El Mali HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro Ein Yacholo. If Hashem doesn't help us, we wouldn't be able to, you know, withstand and overcome the Yetzer Hara and the temptations that face us now more than ever in the difficult world. So, as the Gemara says here in these Gemaras, the Gemara says a person should daven every day. Harachaman Yatzilenu Min HaYetzer Hara. Hashem, save us from the Yetzer Hara. Save us. We try our best, and there's nothing wrong. There's nothing embarrassing of saying that. Hashem, please save us. You're just being honest. Hashem, please save us from the Yetzer Hara. Please save us. Right? And what happens, God forbid, if in the end of the day, after this whole shir, after everything, right? You did all the things, right? And it's still Nebuch, we fell. We fell. We fall. And we all fall. What happens then? How could I not leave you with the words of Rav Nachman? And the shir is over.
Before, exactly.
Before you go to Uman. Okay? Rav Nachman says so beautifully, when a person is faced with, when a person, you know, he was on the up, he was good, he was doing well, and then he gets knocked over by a test of the Yetzer Hara and he fails. Just understand what's happening. When you play, I always say it like this, the way to understand it, Nachman. When you play a video game, you know, and you're on like level one, it's a joke. It's like da 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 da. It's like, oh wow, I didn't lose any men, you know. I got a perfect score. Wow, you get level two. Ooh, it's a little better. You get level three. Ooh, it starts getting really difficult, right? I don't know, whatever you fill in the blank, whatever the video game is, whatever, right? But the beginning is always easy, right? And then it gets harder, and it gets harder, and then suddenly, blank, you know, the board opens, and I lost a man in a second. What is that saying? That means, whoa, you got to a new level. You raised yourself up. So, you're playing in the major leagues. Of course the pitchers are coming in at 90 miles an hour. Of course it gets hard. Of course you're gonna have failures. Those failures, your new failures. I thought I was good, and now I got slammed with this Yetzer Hara, and I failed. It says Rav Nachman, just understand what that means. Understand that it means you're now on a higher darga of Avodas Hashem. Now your tests are getting bigger. Your tests are getting stronger. Yetzer Hara is challenging you. That's good. That's good news. That's not bad news. So get yourself up, right, and get to the next board and keep fighting. I bless you and bless me back. We should be zoche to siyata d'shmaya. We should be zoche to yira shamayim. We should be zoche to be able to control and fight and struggle and wrestle with the Yetzer Hara, like Yaakov Avinu taught us, and even though it's a malach and we think it's impossible, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozer Lanu, Hashem should help us that we should be matzliach, and we can indeed be matzliach, right? And be in control, and give ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu nachas. Thanks for listening.